us and holding us together while we grow, and love that inspires new life, new consciousness, ever new love in our hearts as we grow. Lord, we ask tonight that we become open and receptive, willing, ready to feed on your word, that your word might come to life in each of us and that we might come to life in your world. Move in each of us, Lord, in a clear, obvious, and unmistakable way to make it clear and evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer. In Father transcendent, Son omnipresent, and Spirit immanent, the divine indwelling, we pray it. Our first reading this evening is from the 40th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. To whom can you liken me as an equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. He leads out their army and numbers them, calling them all by name. By his great might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Why, O Jacob, do you say and declare, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Do you not know, or have you not heard? The Lord is the eternal God, creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary, and his knowledge is beyond scrutiny. He gives strength to the fainting. For the weak he makes vigor abound. Though young men faint and grow weary, and youths stagger and fall, they that hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar as with eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. This is the word of the Lord. And our responsorial this evening, O bless the Lord, my soul. O bless the Lord, my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. O bless the Lord, my soul. He pardons all your iniquities and heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. O bless the Lord, my soul. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. O bless the Lord, my soul. Alleluia, alleluia. Behold, the Lord comes to save his people. Blessed are those prepared to meet him. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the crowds, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." This is the gospel of the Lord. You know, if we were raised in Christian churches, we would no doubt have heard these scriptures many, many times and in many contexts. And sometimes it's easy to think, oh, that's that and that's that. It's just so familiar that the depth and penetrating insight of the scriptures doesn't really necessarily wash over us. And sometimes it's good to go out of our tradition to kind of get a point or to make an understanding and then come back after we've seen something. So I thought tonight I'd share something from the Hindu tradition and something from a Buddhist tradition. One, a comment by a very famous guru in another a story, a teaching story. And the first one came from Ramana Maharshi, greatest Indian saint, died in 52. If you ever see this picture of this man's eyes, you will see the beauty of God looking out, the love of God through a photograph. It's just amazing. So the Maharshi was teaching, and he said, "You people," speaking to us, "are like foolish people who are riding on a train and carrying their luggage on their shoulders. Why don't you put your luggage down on the train?" Now, the little Buddhist story is a tale about two monks who were walking quietly, silently together. And as their journey, their path took them to the edge of a pretty good-sized stream. They saw a very small woman there, afraid to cross. And one of the monks said, "I'll be glad to give you a hand with that." And he picked her up, carried her over to the other side. And the monks walked on in silence again. And finally, one of them looked at the one who had helped her and said, "I can't believe you broke your vows. You said you vowed never to touch the flesh of a woman. And you picked that woman up." And the first monk said, "Yeah, but I put her down an hour ago." Burdens. What are our burdens? Those are just words until you realize that every moment of our lives is burdened with some kind of resistance or some kind of unmet need that keeps us always just a little not here, keeps us always just kind of guarding or grabbing. Now that ill-at-easeness, that sense of alienation, otherness, however, or that faint something's going to go wrong feeling, however we want to put it, that's our burden. And that burden accumulates over time in the body. And so the body does feel burdened, and the body is tense, and the body carries stiff places, and the body carries all kinds of things that become disease because we haven't put these burdens down. We think some way we're going to solve something, we're going to figure something out, we're going to make it all right. But in so doing, we don't recognize the all rightness of the perfect now, where God always waits for us to come to put our burdens right here. We can let go of ourselves now. In fact, if we could learn to let go of ourselves in all the ordinary moments of our lives, we would see the miracle of Christian love revealing itself in the form of things just working out. We may not be able to figure out how they worked out. Guarantee you, we don't have the script that says, here's how they ought to work out. People don't know that. Human beings don't ever figure that out. That's just a product of forces that are so far beyond our control that to even give any concern to them at all, any worried concern at all, is just foolish. Because God is waiting for us here, right where our bodies are. Everywhere the body is, that's where God is. Now, if the mind wants to wander, and if the emotions want to be in a kind of state of chronic refusal, it's our perfect right to do so. But Christ has offered us a way and a means to become present, to become so present that we could incarnate, actually, that the Spirit could actually pervade the matter of our bodies to the degree where separation would not exist for us. The experience of otherness, the experience of judgment and carrying grudges would not exist for us because our sins would have been forgiven. We can theoretically say, well, I believe in Christ that all my sins are forgiven. Well, that's true in the absolute. But in the relative, as we come into every moment, are we carrying the Spirit of God and the freedom of the children of God? Are we carrying the lightness of someone who understands that she or he is perfectly loved just as they are? And that God's love never went away for anything. See, if we haven't got that feeling yet, then we haven't really understood that we can put our luggage down, that we can let go of things that aren't happening anymore, that have maybe confused our self-image or made us think we're sinners or bad I grew up in a church where you could go to hell. It was serious consequences. That's not true. God's all-pervading love, God's all-encompassing love, has embraced every single second of every one of our lives. Bernadette put it most beautifully when she said, God doesn't care what you did a second ago. So what is it in me that cares what I did a second ago? And what is it in me that cares what's going to happen tomorrow at the expense of being here, in whatever here I happen to be in? Because my experience with this is when I get to tomorrow, I won't be here either. I'll be leaning into the next tomorrow or regretting the last past. And so there's a discipline in life of putting it down, letting it go. Putting down the luggage again and again and again, maybe 1,000 times a day as you self-remember. Remember the presence of God. So let's put this in context now. This is human propensity to worry about what we'll eat and drink and what we'll wear. Go back to Isaiah. Have you not heard? Well, let's do it with Isaiah's own words. This is God speaking through Isaiah. If you read Isaiah's prophecies, you will see this is not coming from a man. This is coming from God through a man. These are extraordinary, deeply symbolic and mystical statements that are being made in Isaiah. And of course, they were prophetic, but far more than that, they're prophetic even now. He said, God speaking through, to whom can you liken me as an equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high to the heavens and see who has created these things. He leads out their army and numbers them, calling them all by name. And you think your way is hidden and your rights are disregarded by God? It's only when we get into that small, self-enclosed world, that isolated world of meanness, that we're actually in a state of sin. The state of freedom from sin is an openness to the realization that this train is moving by the force of God's love, and we're riding on the planet, and the planet is riding in the galaxy, and the galaxy is riding in the heavens, and all is right with the world, except for our commentary on it. Our accusation. Something's wrong here. Hey, wait a minute, God. A little to the left, huh? If there was a God, that wouldn't... I don't know about you, but as I look back on my younger life, and maybe not even so long ago, there was a willingness to make pronouncements. There was a willingness to pontificate about matters. A willingness to hold forth and share how it is or how it ought to be. I can't find a bit of that anymore. It's the most fruitless behavior I've ever engaged in. That I would have something to say about how it ought to be. That how it ought to be has loved me through, and you too, through occasion after occasion when it looked like, oh, we're not going to make it. We're all here. We're fine. We belong to God. We're in solid God. He's within us. He's all around us. He's covering us. We're breathing Him. And He's here and only here, waiting for us to really get. He doesn't need our help to live our lives. He needs us to cooperate and say yes to them as they are, because He's a God of yes. He's a God of creative affirmation. The whole universe is His yes. And when we'll get our dependency, when we'll get the joy of realizing that He counts the stars by number and knows everyone by name, what that's telling us is that the intimacy of God is not as faceless as we might imagine, that there's some force that's running it on. It's intimate, it's personal, it cares about you, it knows you by name, it's been with you in every second of every day, and now He's inviting us to know Him. But to know Him in our ordinary form, to know Him in the sorrows of the human condition, is not what we had in mind. So Isaiah is saying, oh, you guys think you're hidden from God and he's doing you wrong. Get over it. Just give up that judgment and come into the moment and trust the integrity of creation to continue to live your lives as it has lived from the very beginning, from the time our fingernails were in the Big Bang. This last breath was in the Big Bang. These words and this capacity here were in the Big Bang. This whole thing is unfolding in a glorious expression of truth. And if we're present to that, we can really enjoy being lived, being life, alive as a human. And if we're looking at a script and finding things wrong, 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 we might want to really examine that behavior and ask ourselves how trustworthy it has been for bringing us to the happiness of God, the children of God, bringing us to the peace that passes understanding. Having less to say about more and more seems to me to be the contemplative way, the way in which God takes us deeper into the silence and reveals more and more how really God He is. When we're on the surface of things, He's a lot more invisible. But as we drop back a little deeper than the last thought, a little deeper than that feeling, we say, oh my goodness, the farther back I go, the more I find You. And this is the mystery of God and man. Played out in your ordinariness, in my ordinariness. Bernadette was the one that helped me see I kept expecting Superman. Somehow, you know, organs would chime and glitter would, fairy dust would come down around this person. To think that God and ordinary man are one is the most extraordinary revelation of Christianity, and that's it. You don't have to behave specially. You don't have to be good. You have to know what you are. That's all. To act as we... I kept trying to act my way into happiness, behaving my way. And there are some behaviors, oh God, I did it again. And there are some that are pretty good. Huh? It had nothing to do with anything. That's all for me. That God doesn't care about that. God's love. God can't stop being love because Tim turned left or turned right or raised his arm or didn't. There's no behavior we could do that would exclude us from God. It's we who hide from God when we judge our own behaviors. We who won't feel His love, oh shoot, I did that. Or who needs God? I just did that. The spiritual journey is filled with opportunities to feel good about yourself for a minute or so. The love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ are with us now and always.